Before we open God's word, would you join me in a prayer? Father, our God and Lord, we thank you so much. I feel so full already. Runneth over. Thank you for your amazing grace and your blessing, which we already experience. Now, as we open your holy scripture, would you open our eyes, Holy Spirit? Would you open our ears, Holy Spirit? Lead us to Jesus all the more. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We are in a series called Go. Go, God's call for ordinary people like you in everyday life. God is saying to you and me, once I bring you into my grace, once I love you and once I transform you, I'm going to turn around and send you out so that you may go and live out your ordinary divine calling in your daily life. I really appreciate the expression that God is like a spiritual tornado, in the words of Tim Keller. He says, God, in his grace and love, he sucks you in his great power, the majestic power of God Almighty. He says, I love you, come to me. He brings you in, and he transforms you in the eye of the storm, and then he spits you out like a divine tornado so that you may go and be an agent of God's grace and mercy to the people around you, so that you may change the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about two very interesting characters in the book of Acts. Philip, a follower of Jesus Christ, and then a very high official, the prime minister of Ethiopia. But here is my introduction. No matter how successful you are, no matter how much education you have obtained, no matter how much salary you may earn each year, I guarantee this, they will never fully satisfy you. You will never fully be happy. No matter how successful you are in life, professionally, relationally, spiritually, you will never be fully satisfied. You will never fully be happy unless you live with Jesus Christ. You know, I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. As an immigrant family, I was the second son. I was driven. Many Asian families tend to be achievement-oriented. You know, have you heard of the saying, you know, for an Asian person in high school, B is an F, actually. So I was very driven to achieve things, and I remember in late years of high school and then early years of college, you know, I just don't feel fully satisfied. I'm just not as happy as I want to be. So I thought maybe a degree in the university may make me happy and satisfied. So somehow I managed to graduate. It took me 5 years. I graduated, and it was a great commencement graduation ceremony. The President Bush, the first one, came to give speech, and I was satisfied. I was happy, but after 3 weeks, I said, there's got to be more to this than just this. So I thought, maybe I should find a job. Then I'll be really happy and satisfied. Somehow I managed to find a job offer, and I began working, and after about 3 weeks, I felt, I was satisfied for 3 weeks, but there's got to be more to than this. I'm not fully satisfied. I'm not fully happy. And then I thought to myself, if I could find a girlfriend, and somehow I managed to find a girlfriend, and for about 3 weeks, But isn't it true? I have successful people here. I have individuals who are striving, trying to obtain, to be somebody, to do something, and I guarantee my promise. Here, look. You had this experience before. You thought if you had the employment, then you'll be happy and satisfied. You got it, and now you are searching for more. If you thought relationship would get you that satisfaction and happiness, it could for a while, but then after a little while you go, you know what I'm talking about. You could have everything you could want in your life, and you could still feel dry, longing. You'd feel on the outside looking in and longing for that. What is there something else that I need? I want to introduce Philip and Eunuch, the Ethiopian. Chapter 8 in the book of Acts. We start in verse 1. And Saul approved of their killing him. This is the first martyr. Back up. Jesus finished his campaigning. He healed people. He cast demons out, and there was a huge following. Now people killed him, crucified him. He died and he was buried. Now he rose from the dead. He ascended on high. And then his followers, they began spreading the good news. They were saying, Jesus is alive, and in Christ there is meaning, purpose, and happiness, and satisfaction. And they're saying this to everyone, preaching everywhere. And then the persecution broke out in Jerusalem. And one of the leaders leading the persecution was none other than Saul, who later became Paul. So this is what happened. And Saul approved of their killing him, the first martyr, Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles, those are the followers of Jesus Christ, they were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. Verse 3, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. You see, this is where we get house church movement. They made in houses, homes of the people. He began going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women, because they were the church, and put them in prison. So that's the context. Got it? Skip. We're going to jump to verse 26. Now here's what happens to Philip. So Philip was dragged out. He fled for his own safety and security because he was being persecuted because he was following Jesus. Now he went, and then here's what happened. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road. You know, the one that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. So he was the prime minister of the nation of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, well, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So picture this. They are sitting in this chariot, moving along, and Philip expounding the Hebrew Bible, book of Isaiah, to the eunuch. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. This is Isaiah chapter 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The actual translation there is, for he was cut off from the land of the living. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went down his way, what? Rejoicing. I see this man jumping up and down, rejoicing. Then Philip began with verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the good news in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. What do we know about the prime minister of Ethiopia? Number one, we know that he was very influential, very powerful. He was the prime minister. Next to the king and his royal family, he had the power. He was very influential, powerful, man of wisdom, man of influence, man of persuasion. We also know that he was very, very, very rich. How do you know that? Well, number one, you would figure a prime minister would have some dough. But more importantly, listen, what was he reading? What was he reading? The scroll of Isaiah. Now, people, just picture this. This is 2,000 years ago, before the time of Gutenberg print, before the time of Google. The only person that owned the scroll of any book in the Bible, there was only one copy, one scroll per town. You had to be so rich to own your own private scroll. And he had a copy of that. And not only that, where was he reading the scroll in? In a chariot. Oh, yes. In those days, people walked everywhere. If you rode on a donkey, you were rich. If you rode in a chariot, it's like flying in your own private jet nowadays. No one traveled in chariot unless you are so wealthy. So he was influential, powerful, and he was also wealthy and rich. Okay? But he was also highly educated. How do we know that? Well, any prime minister has to have some IQ in his head. That's given. But then again, what was he reading in the chariot? The scroll of Isaiah that was written in Hebrew. So here's an African man, black African from Ethiopia. Not only was he educated, very highly intelligent, but he was also able to learn the language of Hebrew in those days. People, number one, people didn't read in those days. Number two, if he was able to learn Hebrew, he was so, so educated and intelligent. Now, here's the thing. We also know, in addition to him being influential, rich, and educated, intelligent, we also know that he was very driven. How do we know that? What was his occupation? The prime minister of Ethiopia. And then what was his biological state of being? He was a eunuch. Okay? A eunuch. I learned something new in my sermon preparation. It was so cool. Did you know in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, the Greek word for eunuch and the Greek word for prime minister were the same? Uh-huh. It's like, oh, yeah, our prime minister of Canada, he's a eunuch. Don't post that. Okay? It's the same word. And that's because every high official in those days, working in close quarters with the royal family, every member, every male of any highly ranking officer had to be castrated. They were made eunuch. Because to protect the female member of the royal family. So here's a man who has such drive to be somebody, to accomplish so much, and he did all that at the price of him becoming I am somewhat a type guy. I am somewhat driven. But if you said to me, Victor, if you could be like him, with all that power, with all that money, with all that education, but without, would you do it? I said, no. Ask any man, Nick, well, don't ask. Just to show you how driven he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to count the cost, to be somebody, to go somewhere, to accomplish some things. He was very driven. Some of you are like that. For you, it's career. For you, it's your family. For you, it's your children. You'll do anything, anything, anything to get that precious thing or person. And yet, what happened to him? He was not satisfied. He was not truly happy. He was missing something. How do we know that? Well, listen. He's an Ethiopian black African, right? Okay. And where did he go from Ethiopia? He went to Jerusalem to worship God. Okay. In those days, just think in your head. He was looking for something else. I think he must have tried all the religions in Ethiopia, and he was still unsatisfied, dried, missing something. So he said to himself, I'm going to try this God of the Israelites. So he travels 4,000 kilometers. 4,000 kilometers from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. If you walk, that's going to take you 100 days. If you rode in a chariot, let's just say it takes 50 days. Okay? It took this man travel from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem because he is looking for something. I haven't found that which I'm looking for. He goes from Ethiopia to Jerusalem because he's so longing for something. And he goes there. He goes to Jerusalem to worship this God of Israelites. And then you know what happened to him? At the temple gate, because the temple was the place, the epicenter where you encounter the God of Israelites. You encounter the God of Abraham. As you go into the temple, you offer sacrifices and God blesses you, and it is the place where you want to be. And then he was told, oh, you are a eunuch. You cannot enter the temple. Deuteronomy chapter 23. I'm not making this myself. This is in the Bible. I'm just a messenger. Don't stone the messenger. Deuteronomy chapter 23. If a man's testicles are crushed or his penis is cut off, he may not be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So here's a man who came all the way to find out if this God of the Jewish people would give him the full satisfaction. He was about to enter the temple, and he was told, you may not enter the temple because you are a eunuch. Can you imagine what he must have felt like? And on the way home, he's reading the Isaiah scroll. You see? So here's the good news. So far, it's all bad. Here's the good news. The good news is, when Philip encounters the eunuch, and when the eunuch says, would you please explain this to me? Who is the prophet talking about? And why was he so interested in this passage? Because the passage says, he was cut off. This person, was it the prophet? Or was the prophet talking about someone else? Someone who was cut off from the land of living. Someone who was cut off from the people. Someone who was cut off from God's presence. Someone who was cut off from the blessings of this life. Who was that somebody? He wanted to know. Because he can identify with that person. And that person is none other than Jesus Christ. Philip got on the chariot, and all he did was, starting from the passage of Isaiah, he says, here's the good news. You know what the good news is? You know what the good news is? The good news is no matter who you are, no matter how far you are away from the in crowd, no matter what you have done in your life, no matter how many failures you have made, no matter how much longing you have in your heart, Jesus Christ, his good news is this. I love you. I accept you. I died for you. And I want to give you what I have. If you receive what I give you, you will be forever be satisfied again and again. You will be happy. Happy. No matter what happens in your life, it does not mean you will not face trouble. In fact, look at Philip. What happened to him? He followed Jesus, and he got persecuted, didn't he? He got persecuted. But the promise is, no matter how hard life becomes, through all the troubles, Jesus will be your rock. That's the good news. And the good news is not a good advice. Meaning, all the religions, there are two philosophies in the world. All the religions, atheism, secularism, Buddhism, Islam, Tom Cruiseism, all the isms say this. You be good, do good, and you go get it. You be good, you do good, and you go get it. If you are a Muslim, you worship Allah, you obey Him so that you will be blessed. You follow the teachings of Buddha, then if you follow his tenets, then you will enter nirvana. Okay? You do it. It's up to you. You be good, you do good, and you go get it. Only the goodness of Jesus Christ says, it has been done for you by me. You are not good, Victor. You don't do good, and when you do good, it's for your own recognition. And you can't go and get it yourself. You stink. And yet I love you. I die for you. I accept you. Receive my gift. That's the good news. Friends, this morning, God is speaking to you through His Holy Spirit. I love you. I accept you for who you are. And I want what's best for you. And in the person of Jesus, my Son, God is saying, I give you the full satisfaction. Quickly, let's conclude with three applications, therefore. Therefore, what should you do? Number one, God is sending you to go and listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what Philip did, right? The Holy Spirit said, go and stand on the corner of Calgary Trail and 23rd Avenue. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, go and talk to your colleague at the water fountain. Go and listen to the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, remember that neighbor of yours? Somehow, you keep thinking about her. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Listen, open your ears, open your eyes, open your heart, and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Speak to me. I will listen. I will do as Philip has done. I will listen. I will listen. If you say, I'm getting a prompting, strong conviction, 11:30 p.m., let's go get a serving of ice cream. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's your stomach. Okay? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in terms of serving someone, in terms of making a difference, in terms of being that somebody, a conduit, an instrument of the Holy Spirit. Number two, God is sending you to go and walk with someone. What did the Holy Spirit say to him? Go and run up to that chariot. So he walks. Okay? Picture this, okay? Chariot is moving. He's running up and he's saying, what are you reading there? Isaiah? You understand? Hey, can you slow down just says, do you understand what you're reading? Go and walk along with somebody. God is saying, enter into someone's brokenness. Enter into someone's life. Join somebody on his, on her journey. For the eunuch, it was that longing. It was that void. It was that brokenness. It was that long looking for something. Walk with somebody, and the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and open your heart wide open, and you will feel their brokenness and their pain. When you come close to somebody, and when you begin to love that somebody, then their joys become your joys, and their pains become your pains. Isn't that true for you? So first, go and listen to the Holy Spirit. Second, go and walk along with somebody. And number three, go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You can take me along, or you can share the good news yourselves. The simplest and the best way is simply sharing with that person what the goodness of Jesus Christ has done for you. It's your story. It's your testimony. It's your testament. Nobody can argue with that. They may say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. But they cannot say, it didn't happen to you. It's your experience. And people can gravitate toward your stories. So go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I am unloving, I am undeserving, but God in Jesus Christ, He accepts me, He loves me, and He died for me to prove that. Now I want to follow Him. Look at the change in me. Look at the change in me. Look at the change in me. Do you have that in you? So let's conclude. Would you close your eyes and pray with me? I want to give you time to reflect and seal the deal. You have heard lots of things, but let me just reiterate the following. Friends, we have witnessed God's faithfulness in the baptism of Jesse. We have witnessed and we are witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit working through Mosaic House Church, through your time, with your talents, and with your treasure. God is doing something great in us and through us. I feel the moving of the Holy Spirit in you, in me. God is poised to do something great for the city of Edmonton and beyond using us. It's all fantastic, but it starts with you receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you listen to the Holy Spirit? Would you feel the love of Jesus? He's unconditional. Like I saw in Sarah this morning, her arms raised saying, Jesus Christ, you are my rock. You are my salvation. You are there for me when I face all the troubles in this life. And because of that, I am joy-filled. Because of that, I am strong. See, that's the goodness of Jesus Christ. She has it, I have it, and God wants you to have it too. And if you're so ready, say these words in your heart. If you haven't said these words before, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, my life is a wreck when I run it. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and change me forever. I commend you for saying that prayer. And now, friends, let's go. Let's go. Let's go and make a difference. Go listen to the Holy Spirit. Go walk with someone, enter into their brokenness, and go and share the goodness of Jesus Christ. Will you go? Will you say, here I am, O Lord, send me. Here I am, O Lord, send me.